Magnificent, I'm going to tell you something about random numbers in cryptography. Just short introduction to know something about this. And yeah, I worked together with my advisors, Miloš Lutarovský from Technical University of Košice, Slovakia, and Viktor Fischer, he's at Université Chalmany in France. And something about me. I'm a former PhD student at the University of Košice in Slovakia. I had the occasion to spend some time at Kosi Group in Bochum, then Kosi in Leuven in Belgium, and then also in France at Victor's lab. And currently I work in Centivision, what is Polish-Japanese company, and they do all the stuff about IPTV and video on demand, and of course they need some cryptography, so I do digital rights management for them. What I will talk about today, the topics are like role of randomness in cryptography, then some applications of random values in the algorithms we have in cryptography. Then I will mention the requirements that are given to the numbers and the way of generation. Then I will present some possible ways how to generate random numbers, most known extraction techniques in digital systems. And then last but not least, the testing certification process. So almost everybody had possibility, occasion to meet with random numbers. They are widely used in several areas, like Monte Carlo simulation and in communication systems for reading the spectrum, then for generation of primes in cryptography, computer games, gambling industry, and so on. So the question is, what is random, what we can call to be random? Then the question is how to prove the randomness. And the problem is that there is no exact definition of randomness. If we have this definition, then to prove that something is random would be easier, but actually there is no exact definition what is random number. And actually for finite numeric segments, it's impossible to say if it's random or not, because it's finite. And as example, who can say what is more random, this sequence or this sequence? Does anybody know? Why the second?
It's right.
You can read yourself that it's not really easy with randomness. You never can be sure. We can argue that it's not random, but somebody else can still say it. For us it is random, but who can say it's not or not? It is or not? So the question is now, is there any randomness or not? If we cannot prove if something is random, then we have this question, if there is any randomness. And actually this is a philosophical question also, if everything in the world is deterministic or there are some things that happen just randomly. And also famous guy Albert Einstein said this sentence that God does not play dice with the universe. And also this quotation we can explain in different ways, but one meaning is that if we feel that something is random, then it can be that it's only problem of our knowledge of the system. That there is some deterministic explanation of everything, what's going on in the universe. So it's only up to our knowledge to know all the details and all the parameters of the system, and then we should be able to predict everything in the world. But apparently, some processes in nature are supposed to be random. We just cannot explain it in different ways. So at the moment, we say that they are random. And these processes can be found in quantum mechanics, and also noise is noted as random and so on. Also, one example of a random process we use in everyday life is coin flipping. And in the end, what is this coin flipping is just movement of coin that in the end should be somehow described. And if we know it, if we know how to describe it perfectly and know all the parameters of the system, of the coin, of the air, of the resistance and movement, then we should be able to say exactly what will be the result. No, it's like, it's quite strange. It's in other events, like movements of vehicle or something, we can say exactly that we have vehicle this time, that place, and if we know the speed, then we know that some other time it will be at other place. I mean, we can describe it perfectly, but with coin flipping, it's not so easy, and we use it as some random process. And the problem is that the system cannot be described so perfectly with all the parameters known, so there is some instability of the system that brings this randomness in coin flipping. And this Slovakia euro coin is coming in 2009, hopefully. I said that there are no definitions but of randomness, but there are some definitions of how we should get the random numbers, and this is one of it, that truly random number is generated by a process whose outcome is unpredictable and which cannot be reproduced. So, as you see, it's said that it's definition of randomness, but actually we don't have too much information how to actually generate random numbers. We just need that we need a process that will have these two features. And what it means to have an unpredictable sequence. It means that even if we have full knowledge of the algorithm, even if we have hardware that generates the random numbers, and we know all the previous outputs, we'll be not able to predict the subsequent outputs, even if our computation power is so what means unrepeatable? That even if we have the same working conditions and sometimes the seed completely the same, the generated sequence will be totally different. So we have these two conditions, two clauses, which should give us the random sequences. In practical, what we call random and how we describe the system that could give us some random numbers is that we expect that the properties of the generated sequence will be similar to random sequence, and it will be unpredictable, and it will be impossible to reproduce it. And to check if the properties are similar to random sequence, we need to evaluate the sequence and to check how close it is with properties to random sequence. So we check the statistical properties. Something from history, how the random numbers were generated. So this, for example, patented machine of AT&T, and here the source of randomness was this large container of balls, black and white. But this is something that we cannot really use in digital systems. So let's see what we could use, what other sources of randomness are. The first group, we have some natural processes like decay of radioactive material and quantum mechanics processes. Then we have several types of noise and also frequencies, ability of free running oscillators. And this is already something that sounds like electronic circuit, potentially could be used in digital systems. So let's see if we need some random numbers in cryptography, where exactly we need them, and what is the use of random numbers and random values in cryptography. Actually, if you listen to presentations this week, almost in all of them, there was a description of algorithm or process where we required some random number as the input for the algorithm of the process. So we need random nonces, what is only once used number, then keys, challenges, vectors for initialization, padding bytes, binding values, and so on. Yeah, and this is just one example from cryptography. We had several this week, so it's just kind of a challenge response scheme. And in the scheme, we need beginning to send a random number from one item to second one. And now the question can be why it should be random, why it cannot be some known value and then just send to another item. And the problem is that if the A or something what pretends to be item A, or Alice, known in advance what will be the value of the nonce, then it can prepare the answers, and then it's easy for that item that pretends to be A to answer quickly the challenge. But since it is random here, it cannot recompute in advance all the possible replies, and then it's difficult like such authentication. So yeah, it's also explain why actually we need the randomness in cryptography. So if there is no bias for the values we produce and all of them are equally possible, then for brute force attack, it's the range of possible values is the full range. We cannot prefer any of them, and yeah, then we keep the range of values as it was proposed for the security of the algorithm. In dependency on application, there are several requirements for random numbers. Sometimes they need to be secret, in case of keys, for example. Sometimes it's not needed. For example, for initialization vectors, they are sent anyway with the encrypted values. But for keys, we need to keep them secret. Sometimes we expect that they that cannot be repeated, and then we expect that it's impossible to predict them, so they are statistically equal, uncorrelated. So actually, what kind of random number generators we know? There are true random number generators, also called like physical generators. What means that they are based on some physical natural process. One note here: we always speak about generators, but what we actually do is just extraction of randomness, because randomness is taken from some of process, and we just have a extraction system of this randomness, so we don't actually generate randomness. In case of pseudorandom generators, we have something of this random, but not truly random, pseudorandom. I will explain later what does it mean. And they're often noted as deterministic generators. And the last group is hybrid generators, what is combination of true random and pseudorandom generators. Now some details about this kind of generators. In case of true random number generators, as I said, they are based on some natural sources, but often what is the problem for these natural sources is that they do not have perfect statistical properties, like no bias or the speed of the process is slow or these kind of problems. And when the statistical properties are not satisfied, then we need some post-processing, and then we reduce the output bit rate always. So that could be a problem in case we need a lot of random numbers in short time. And yeah, what is also a problem that, for example, if we have implementation of symmetric encryption schemes and asymmetric public key, we expect also to have a generator in such a system inside it, not somewhere separated chip or system. So we expect to have a random number generator in digital system, but it's not so how easy it is to find a source and then a way how to operate the numbers. In case of pseudorandom number generator, the statistical properties are fine. They're designed to have perfect statistical properties. They have also high output rates. But again, what is the problem? That at the beginning they always need some random seed. So then there is a question from where to get this seed. So in case of pseudorandom numbers, we have a requirement to perfect statistical properties. Of course, we have them also for true random number generators, but in case of pseudorandom generators, it's easy to achieve such properties. And somehow, sometimes it's needed to repeat the sequence. So we have a requirement to repeat the sequence at some other time or some other place of the system. And why it's pseudorandom, that it only looks like random, but it's not really random, as I said before already, because when it can be reproduced at some other place or some other time, it's not totally random. Again, some quotation of smart guys, this time from John von Neumann, who said that if somebody wants to get some randomness from digital system, from deterministic system, is in state of sin. So that's the answer for the question if it's possible to have a really random numbers from fully digital system. That's the answer for it. And how the pseudorandom number generator work? They take the random seed and they expand it to very long pseudorandom sequence. This sequence has a period. So again, if we want to have this sequence to look like random, we expect also that the period of seconds will be long enough. And the second thing that is interesting is the internal algorithm of the generator. And since it's a deterministic system, always if we need exactly how the system looks like, what are the working conditions and the values inside, then we can say what will be the next the following output. And yeah, just some examples on what kind of principles can be based pseudorandom number generators. And I will explain just the first one, the feedback shift register, which is quite often used in pseudorandom generators. In dependency of the feedback function, if this is a XOR, simple XOR, then we have a linear feedback shift register. And also in dependency how this XOR is implemented, we recognize Fibonacci and Galois configuration. And yeah, simply how this register works, we have some long register, we need to have it long because also the period of generated sequence depends on the length of this register. And then each time we need some new value at the output, new bit, then the content of the register is shifted by one position, and the new bit is computed is based on the values of the register in previous state and computed by the feedback function. But we have something what is called in pseudo-random number generator, but cryptographically secure. What means that even if we know the previous output and we know the algorithm, we still are not able to compute the next state of the algorithm of the generator. In case of true random number generators, the generator is based on some source of randomness, entropy, that is impossible to describe in deterministic way. What is really needed to be careful to distinguish some natural processes that cannot be described, some quasi random sources in computers, like movements of mounts and some interaction of users and so on. It's difficult to describe such source of randomness of entropy, but on other side it's not totally random that you can predict some movements or some parts of this information. Here's a typical structure of the random number generator, where you have the analog part, what is source, with a source of randomness. Then you go from the analog part to digital part, and if needed, you do post-processing, and then you collect the generated bits and offer them in case of requirement. It is you are talking about pre-dumming oscillators and the frequency instability of pre-dumming oscillators. So here is example for a free-running link oscillator. What is nothing more than a chain of odd number of inventors, and the delay between the first and the last inventor causes that this delay is not static, is something that can change in time, and it's supposed to be random change. Then the change of the delay causes also the change in frequency, in output frequency of this oscillator. What is a different principle for generating random numbers in digital systems is that often we have some kind of clock management system in each digital device, and this can be used somehow to get some randomness inside the system and what we use in our proposal is to use two PLLs with exactly set ratio in the frequencies, and then we are able to sample a random jitter that is present at the output of the PLL.
So why would you do this as opposed to using a chain inverter? Why do you prefer to do it like this as opposed to using a chain of inverters in the previous
one? The problem of I guess that's in next presentation we'll hear more about it, but problem of these link oscillators is that you need a lot of them or a high number of them, and they have a problem with locking on some frequencies around also to each other if they are next to each other in the device, or also to frequencies from outside that change the frequency when the temperature is changed and so on. So that was motivation to use something that is stable in frequencies, but still there is some change caused by some noise in the system, but in generally it's more stable and you don't need plenty of PLLs, you just need two or even one to have a generation. How is the situation in hybrid random number generators? And as I said, with two random number generators, sometimes there is a problem that they are too slow to use them directly in the system. So then we have possibility to use the two random number generator just as a generator of seed for pseudo random number generator. And then we combine fast output rate of pseudo random number generator with high quality output of two random number generator. What is crucial here to be sure that the seed is really random, it's not just mixing some other pseudo random sources. And now something about internal status of this random number generators, and to see the difference between true random and pseudo random. The main difference is in memory. The pseudo random is beside the register, is the internal memory, and all the output depends on the previous outputs, also on the previous internal status. In case of true random, it's not true. You always with each new bit, each new value, you start like from scratch, from beginning. You don't, the output does not depend on the previous values. In case of cryptosecure pseudo random number generators, they have also, of course, because the deterministic, they have some internal memory, some internal value, but the relation between internal status and the output is not so direct as in pseudo random. So even if you know what was generated, what was at the output, you don't know exactly what's going on inside. So there is no direct relation. That's why it's more secure. And about entropy, what what is difference that in case of pseudo-random generation, the whole entropy is given by the seed. So if the seed is not good enough, not random enough, then you have a problem in the whole sequence. You cannot produce something more random from the bad seed. And in case of pure random, it's better because you always take the entropy from the source. Also about the entropy, it's not the only condition you need to follow. If you have entropy, it doesn't mean that you have everything. As example, we can take a zip file that has high level of entropy because we have a lot of information there, but it for sure it's not deterministic because the way how you get it, it's known. On other hand, when we mention compressing, if we are able to compress some sequence, then it's not random. So this is just one slide about implementations of two random number generators in FPGAs and in Xilinx, mostly based on Ring oscillators. As I told in Altera and Actel, we are able to use PLL circuits, and there were also some industrial solutions, but it is something that I think will be better explained maybe in the next presentation. And just one example about one long implementation of random number generators. It's quite famous Netscape implementation. And what was problem there, that the seed value for pseudo random number generators was derived only from three parameters: the time of day, ID of running, and ID of parent process. And the problem here is that these values have low level of entropy. It's not so difficult to find out how many processes are running in the computer, and the time of day also it's not something what is unlimitedly long enough to provide a good source of entropy. Yeah, just some not only some implementations, but some concepts of random generators. Again, I think it will be explained later. In the last minutes, I want to focus on certification and testing. So for this problem, now in certification and in general in implementation of two random number generators, that you don't have any exact standards as you have for AES or RSA, how to implement random number generators. You always need to take a platform and you want to work and try to find the source of randomness and the way how to extract randomness from it, some post-processing method if needed and so on. But what is really useful reading is this AIS standard proposed by German Federal Office for Information Security, and there are two proposals, one for pseudo-random number generator and one for two and also physical generators. And again, there is not written how to implement the generators, but there is explained how to check if the generator is implemented in correct way and what to check, what is important in implementation. One thing, for example, is the model of randomness extraction, and to get a certificate, for example, from this German office, you need to describe exactly how the randomness is extracted. So of course, you cannot describe the source, but it should be exactly defined how the techniques works. And what was also like quite interesting that in NIST standard, there were some years ago, there were included four tests that has to be passed by the generator. But in like some years ago, it was removed from the standard. And but we can say about it that the certification process is something more just like a testing. We really need to go in deep analysis and to check how the generator works. But still, if we do not have good statistical properties of the generated sequence, then we have problems to prove that the generator is random. So for this purpose, there exist some suits for test suits for testing the statistical properties of generator outputs. From NIST, also from the German office, really known is this DHAP test from Osaglia. And in each case, because each way of extraction is unique, there should be kind of special test for each generator that is based only on the technique that is used for extraction. Then you really can prove